Welcome to worship on Sunday, the 4th of October. Brothers and sisters, we gather from many houses and assemble in the household of God.
Here we hear words that revive. Here we experience grace that makes our heart glad.
God offers light to our eyes. Christ brings wisdom to our hearts and minds.
God's teachings are sweeter than honey and more precious than gold.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to the house of God. Teacher, liberator, and saviour, we are in awe of your presence. Your holy wisdom revives and enlightens us. Your power releases slaves from captivity and makes mountains smoke. Your salvation comes in knowing Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. May our words and our meditations be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things that strikes me about the Psalms of the Old Testament is the honesty of the authors. Often we look to the Psalms for help in times of discouragement, doubt and despair. Somehow they reassure us and take us back to the roots of faith. Yet the Psalms are full of honesty and raise questions that probe into the depths of our thoughts and feelings. One commentator describes the Psalms as a way for us to get all the things in our heads out there, while finding a way for us to rise from the mess that we might find ourselves in the midst of. The Psalms help us to express real feelings in the context of a faith relationship. Sometimes they take us to the place where we can cry out, "Why me? And why this?" Our first reading today is from Psalm 80. Psalm 80 appears to have been used as a communal lament after a national disaster. At one point, the psalm comes close to accusing God of negligence, and at the same time, it reminds us of God's power to restore. Today's reading is from verses 7 to 15, which expresses the expectation of restoration. In our experience of a worldwide pandemic, we have all kinds of questions as to its origins, how it's spread throughout the world, how it's affecting the norms of life, and how it's impacting on different groups of people in different ways. No doubt there are many lessons to be learned from it. In this psalm, there's the scene of walls being broken down. The image reminds us of a similar image in Isaiah chapter 5. Interestingly, both passages assert that the walls are broken down by God. Yet, both passages point towards God giving people the vision and strength to rebuild. Amid lament, the strong plea for restoration is what sounds from Psalm 80. Listen to the words of the psalm, Psalm 80, verses 7 to 15.
Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and insects from the fields feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself.
Let us pray. Redeemer God, forgive our failings and our sins, committed both knowingly and unknowingly. May we not be ruled by our shortcomings, and may they have no power over us. Raise us from wrongdoing, that we may share in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of our Redeemer, claim the righteousness of Jesus Christ as your own, for in Christ you are forgiven. Amen.
Shall the years and
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14.
If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus.
Many people go through experiences in life where they find themselves reassessing the value of things they thought were important. Sometimes they discover that much of what they took for granted has more worth than they had thought previously. Several people have told me that it's meant a lot to them to be back at church after lockdown. At a basic level, they miss the weekly routine of attending church services. Now that we've reopened, it's not the same as before. We've had to adapt, but it's recognised that we're doing the best we can in the circumstances. One of the lessons that lockdown has taught us is that the day-to-day things that we do help carve out our sense of self. Relationships also play a major part in defining us. When we're unable to engage with others, family, friends, neighbours, it hits us hard. I'm sure all of us were touched by stories of the experiences of those young people who've gone off to university, having left their families and friends, and now find themselves in the loneliness of isolation due to an outbreak of coronavirus. Underlying the passage from Philippians 3 is the Apostle Paul coming to terms with the experience of rejection. Rejection can become totally debilitating and soul-destroying. Everyone remembers occasions when they were rejected. Perhaps it was at school, when we weren't chosen for the play, or the sports team, or when we were rejected by the boy or girl who wouldn't be our friend. As we get older, the experience of rejection can be a real problem in terms of our self-esteem. It is almost guaranteed that everyone will experience rejection in one way or another during their lives. That's why it's important that we need to teach our children resilience so that they can deal with rejection and find it to be character building. In Philippians, Paul talks to us about the rejection that occurs when we choose to follow the Jesus way. If anyone had a CV that would endear him with the most noble of people, the most popular and the most wanted, it certainly was Paul. But when he became a follower of Jesus, not everyone was accepting. He had to come to terms with this. For Paul, the goal was not to be accepted by others, but to experience the power of restoration by living a life in harmony with God. When life turns sour, we too need to shift our goals toward that goal. In so doing, our outlook changes because our values change. We discover the power of being true to ourselves and to everything that God calls us to be. It's been said that this might just be the finest life work of being a disciple. To thine own self be true. Let us pray.
Loving God, thank you for giving us life, along with all the creatures that fly and swim and crawl and walk. You have chosen humanity to rise even higher. You have shaped the human soul in your own likeness and given us the responsibility of being your stewards on earth. You have entrusted us to care for the weak, bring order out of chaos, and create new possibilities.
When we became too full of ourselves and started to act with careless arrogance, you came after us. You called out to us through the prophets and enlightened us through the seers and poets, yet still we wandered.
You pursued us through the centuries, and when the time was right, you came among us in Christ Jesus, your holy child. In him we have received the costly treasure of the gospel. By his love we are born into the family of your church and made heirs of eternal life.
By your Spirit you're with us always, the friend sharing our happiness, the comforter in our pain and grief, the encourager when weary or depressed, and the agent of new birth when we become deadened by our trespasses and sin.
Most generous God, most holy friend, our hearts sing with gratitude for the blessings that extend through every hour. May we sing a love song to you each morning, and in the evening sleep peacefully with the light touch of your hand upon us. You are our health and happiness, the perfection that outshines our thanksgiving as the sun outshines a candle. May you live among loving hearts each day.
Holy One, health of the sick, comfort of the sad, rebuke of the oppressor, judge of the greedy, hope of the repentant, friend of the downtrodden, in prayer we lift up to you this world with its outrageous injustices, yet also its outpouring of human kindness from ordinary people.
Loving God, let your blessing be upon those who serve their neighbours without thought of reward, who forgive their enemies 70 times 7, who care for broken strangers as if they were dearest friends, who weep with the bereaved as if they were sisters and brothers, who heal the diseased, not counting the risk to themselves.
Let your blessing encourage those who work for peace when the only result seems to be more violence, who preach and live the gospel in the face of persecution, who feed the hungry, although their efforts get misinterpreted, who stand up for the downtrodden in spite of public scorn, and who maintain the church when those around belittle it.
Holy God, reach out your hand over each of us gathered in prayer this day, that our faith may be enlarged and fortified, our vision enlightened and extended, and our compassion refreshed and widened.
Through Jesus of Nazareth, whose love was good enough for the ordinary, too much for the proud and powerful, and absolutely amazing for all who shared his cup. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.